who were nominated recently by the college PMB, and those names were forwarded to the Academic Senate, and they will be listed on the ballot, as well as any other names who are of people who submit a petition with 25 signatures. Okay, and again, the regular meeting is the following Thursday, December 12th. I don't believe, any other announcements, reports? Okay. There are no special motions, so let's go to the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee meeting minutes. Any objections?
Done.
Graduate Curriculum Committee.
Request that the Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes dated October 6, 2013 be approved. Moved unanimously. Consent.
Any objections? Done. Nominating committee report. Okay. Any objections to the nominating committee report minus Irma, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. Okay. Yeah, it was just an error. Okay. Any objections? Okay. Seeing none? Okay. Undergraduate Scholastic Standards Committee. New college-wide procedure for appealing an earned grade.
They're not here.
No, they're not here.
This is on behalf of the Scholastic Standards Committee that is submitted. In last semester, our proposal for procedure for appealing an earned grade. What we're basically doing is seeking to clarify what was a procedure that there seems to be a lot of confusion about previously. Charles White talked about the fact that they're that the Scholastic Standards Office took a lot of appeals, a lot of uncertainty about what the role was, so we sought to make sure that the policy was clarified and to create something that would work for students.
Could you identify yourself for the record?
Oh, sorry. Dave Lundahl, lecturer from the Dow, and the chair of the class.
Thank you.
I'm Charles Boyd, executive officer. In preparing this legislation, we looked at SUNY colleges and private colleges, and all seem to involve students at the third level being the discussion. Sorry. The first level involves the instructor and the student. second level of thought for students and the academic dean for faculty members and the third level of thought for committee. And that the committee ranges in size from 3 members up to 11 members at the bottom school. There was some question of board faculty last meeting that the college would have to be permanent committee to these departments. That is not true because in the last 3 years, we probably got less than a dozen appeals for third grade. And so there are departments within the college that have never had an third grade child. We also note that the committee can be appointed ad hoc. In other words, when the question is raised, then the committee can be appointed to the department. And I'll be happy to answer any other questions if you have about it.
You also, I just probably want to add this, we do for the procedure that we have, we would like one change, which is in paragraph 5, the fourth line of the title page, the word title should be struck.
I'm sorry, please give us a chance to get there again. What was that?
In paragraph 5, number paragraph 5, the fourth line, it says, in either such case, the divisional, et cetera, the either should be struck.
Just the word either, and it should read, in such a case. Okay. Dave?
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Bradley. This is a much improved version of what was last time, including the notion that the appeal on grade is not about the professor's judgment, but about calculations and the like, and that's a very helpful addition. The only suggestion I would make here is on your initial resolution, which says this will be in effect immediately. I think when you change the rules that students have to follow, you have to give them some notice. And I think that I would move to amend this to take effect in the spring semester, spring of 2014, because people have to be told that the process by which they're going to feel the grade is now different. They have to be given instructions and information about how to file an appeal and what's in the bulletin. Now that they're reading, will be incorrect. And it's not good to send students to offices after reading something in the bulletin or what they've been doing in the past and be told, by the way, that's not the case. So if we get better practice for the college, we'll give students some notice that this is going to be changed. So I urge the Senate to change this to effective date spring 2014.
Okay, if I'm responding to the committee, certainly no problem maybe it's for 2014. We're comfortable doing that. We just didn't want to stress that in our view, what we're really doing is classifying policy rulings. That's not true, but that we generally believe that most people were changing what they thought existed right now, but we're making it a little clearer what exists right now, which is why we felt that trying to make it immediate was not necessarily something that was really going to blow people's minds. But we're certainly starting to have no objection to starting in 2014.
So, right. Okay. So would you ask that we accept your committee report? With an amendment?
You have to vote on the amendment.
We have to vote on the amendment first. Okay.
It's debated.
Okay. Discussion of the amendment?
My amendment would be striking the word I.
No, that's just. Striking the word either is just a clerical thing. Is there discussion on the amendment?
We need
to ask
consent to the
amendment. Okay, any objections? Okay, done. Okay, now you can. Kevin? Stephen?
I wasn't sure that I should have saw it in the proposal in matching the rationale.
I'm not sure. Yes, please, and slowly.
Okay. As I was saying, I have a person in the Department of English. I had a number of concerns, and one of them was with the idea of clarity, and it didn't seem to be that the rationale, which it seems like there's a need to clarify things, and I appreciate that, but I didn't see that lining up between policy. Actually, I think that from the faculty's eyes, from my own eyes, I think that current policy seems pretty clear, as it's laid out in the bulletin, and one of the bad is the paragraph is another layer of complexity. I guess one thing I saw in that handout was that there was a lot of, interpretive questions. For instance, at the end of the fourth paragraph, the chairperson makes an online recommendation to the instructors. At the beginning of the next paragraph, if the instructor doesn't follow that, X, Y, and Z happens right away. That doesn't really seem to be the spirit of an online thing. And then it says in the beginning on the first page that the second page, that the USSC is understood to have the authority to change grades currently, but also our very explicitly says USSC is simply for recommendation or mediation. So that seemed to be sort of a conflict, and at the end of the appeals procedure it says it's not the USSC's jurisdiction to change grades other than this whole thing. So it either they can change grades or they can't. It seems to put on that, doesn't make sense. Last was at the end of the fifth paragraph, just the who's correcting the registrar to change the grade. So the majority of the faculty complies, et cetera, et cetera. The chairperson must then submit a report of change of grade along with the student committee to the USSC, which will direct the registrar to change the grade. So is the USSC directing the registrar to change the grade, or is it the letter that was sent? What is the, I guess, that comment for you?
Matt, if I try to address those to the extent I remember them. One is the non-binding recommendation from the chairperson. The chairperson cannot call the professors to change the grade. What the chairperson can do is recommend that the professor change the grade. If the professor is adamant to not change the grade, then you can go to the next step, and the chairperson recommends a three-person faculty committee, which is the only group that can ask that the or that can direct the grades to be changed. Obviously, we're very concerned we put this together. About not stepping on faculty's toes, and of course you should have the responsibility for grading. But under some circumstances where faculty violates school policy, then there needs to be some procedure at the school to direct the faculty to issue grades consistent with the policy. So in that sense, it's not binding on the chairman, not the chairperson cannot tell the professor what to do with the grade. But if the chairperson recommends it and the professor does not agree, the chairperson can then take it on to the next level, which is a three-person faculty. As far as the role of USSC, which I think was the last two issues with relation to the role of USSC, we on the committee and in the office, there has been a question over the years basically as to what people expected of the USSC. We weren't sure that we knew exactly what our role was. And people would come to the USSC and say, please order my grade to be changed. Obviously, that's not something that we feel that we have the expertise and we're qualified to do. And so the idea was we wanted to make clear what the role of the USSC was, and that role was not telling professors what grade they should be assigning. That should be done within faculty, within the department, and there should be a straightforward procedure for that. This also addressed the clear or not clear. We got a lot of people who didn't seem to understand what their roles were, including possibly us. And so this way, the USSC says, look, we don't change grades. Deal with it according to this procedure within the department, with professors, with the department, with people who have the expertise. And then our role is simply to make sure that the school's policies have been followed. So where the USSC steps in is if somebody can do what they're supposed to do under the policy, then the USSC can direct that they do that, and then some procedure be made to pick up that. Because of the way they've been written in the policy, it's the USSC that has the authority in order to change grade. Again, we don't think we should be doing that on our own behalf, but if we are ordered to by the department, then we would go to the registrar and say, please make that change. So that's where that passing comes. The USSC is basically just facilitating that. But the other role that we have is to make sure that the procedure is followed.
I guess like you said makes sense, but I don't really see that in here in the introduction committee.
that seems like a new policy rather than making.
Which level? I
don't know. I'm just saying you're adding a committee to the process. So you've got, but as I understand it now, students like already talked to the instructor, talked to the chair, talked to the dean, and now they're going to talk to the committee, and then they're going to talk to the USSC. So it's creating a new policy rather than enforcing one. But what you said, like,
it's also the feeling based on experience, by the way.
Sure.
Last time we were there, there was some concern about how often this was going to come up in the meetings. The experience of the office, you know, is that this is not going to happen very often, and nobody's getting, very few people will get this by process. Because of the fact that everyone's roles are laid out and the process hopefully is fair to the event, it should be finalized, except it's very rigorous, it should get done. I'm not sure that, again, there would be some confusion as to what all the rules were, but we sort of felt in regard to the layers to give it every chance to get resolved amicably and to make sure that everybody who already had some role in the process still had a role and knew what that role was, from the chairperson, the dean, and then the USSC.
I think Stephen was next in line. Stephen, did you? Oh, that's okay. Okay.
Dean Savage, College Y at Large. I like the new policy because it leaves the ultimate authority for changing the grade in the hands of that three-person faculty committee, which is located in the area of expertise close to the department. And then they pass the word on to the USSC. And so I'm in favor of this clarification and support it.
I do think that this it's hard to see how students are unclear about the current procedure, because it's very explicit in the bulletin that the USSC does have the authority to change professors' grade.
Yes, they do.
It's not in the USSC jurisdiction. Maybe they're just right outside the philosophy department, which says how to appeal grade, and it says how to by license. It is not in the USSC jurisdiction to change the professor's assigned grade. And that's because it's not in anyone's jurisdiction, not even the USSC. So I don't see what was unclear about the current procedure at all in that respect. The other thing about clarity, I think, is under one in the new procedure, where it says, I guess I'm wondering about the compatibility of 1 and 3. The instructor must provide the student with a clear understanding of how the assigned grade was determined. Now, if that were defined as a learning outcome and the pathway to provide the student with a clear understanding,
you would have to have something
like assessing. How to assess if the student has a clear understanding of how the assigned grade is determined. And in philosophy especially, it's extremely difficult to give a student with no talent for philosophy any understanding at all of how the assigned grade is determined. Because it's precisely because they don't understand it's impossible to understand how the grade was assigned. And so I think requiring the instructor to provide the student with a clear understanding is not an expression that we need. We want something like a clear explanation whether the student understands it or not. The other thing is this artificial distinction between, on the one hand, the instructor's stated grading policy or grading calculation. You can appeal the stated grading policy and the calculation that's used in deploying that policy, but you may not appeal the professor's judgment. Now, of course, to make any calculation, you must first make a judgment. To deploy any policy requires, at every stage, a kind of an application which is just what judgment consists of. So this is a completely false distinction. No intellectual merit about it at all. And, know, there are plenty of courses where there is no such thing, really, as a calculation.
Right.
It's meaningless to talk about this in lots of courses. And so, you know, I'm concerned that this procedure will, you know, the argument that there are so few appeals that it won't be actually getting it right seems to be up against the problem that students will see there's a further procedure which they can follow, and so we'll get a lot more appeals than we have previously, precisely because it sort of spells out the grounds on which we can appeal, which we've not really done before.
Thanks. First, it's been raised a number of times in this body, what is the authority of the Undergraduate Scholastic Standards Committee with regard to the changing of grades? I'd like to read to the body Article 7, Section 24 of the bylaws of this body, which authorizes and gives the authority of the Scholastic Standards Committee for its various functions. And if you look at item number C, it says to receive and act upon in consultation with appropriate academic departmental programs, student appeals relating to academic matters. Well, a grade is an academic matter, and a student appeal of a grade is an academic matter. What we have here is the committee has decided not to do this very often, but they do have the authority to do it because it's in the bylaws that they have the authority to do it. And it's wise on their part to basically say this should be going back to the department and it should go back to the faculty members who are in the field to make this judgment. On the issue of whether or not there is a distinction with regard to the stated way that the faculty members can grade, even if this is a law school, and if we let faculty judgment be involved, we would have 400 students, we would have 400 fields, and everyone would test their legal ability. But what we have here is many faculty members put out a syllabus, and in the syllabus it may say 30% of your grade is based on this, and 20% of your grade is based on that. And in those cases, and we've had those cases, where instead of actually using the 20%, 30%, 50%, some professors decided, I'm not going to follow that, I don't like that anymore. And even though we've given all the students the information of what the breakdown of the grading is, they decided that this particular festival camp is 80%, even though they've put out 30. So there is a distinction on how professor's stated way they make a grade versus the way they actually make a grade. It can cause an appeal if they don't follow it. So I think it's a reasonable program and a reasonable policy and urges approval.
Further discussion? Make an actual motion.
You moved unanimous consent, yeah.
Okay. Oh, we did, right. Okay. So,
is there an objection?
Any objections? Just to remind you, Professor Lloyd moved unanimous consent.
Moved unanimous consent.
Any objections?
Any objections?
I have a question. Is there a suggestion to replace the word on the
I'm sorry, I cannot hear you. Say again.
Are we replacing the word understanding with the word explanation?
Okay. Stephen Grover suggested.
I was a friend of him.
Are you willing to accept changing the words understanding to explanation?
You still have an ambiguity issue there. Same thing as what's a clear understanding, what was a clear explanation. Perhaps a little bit less than kind of looking into the mind of the student, perhaps it would better say something like the instructor must endeavor to provide the student with a clear understanding. Must endeavor to provide the student with a clear understanding.
Yes, this is all editorial. Right.
Okay, I'm going to say that we're going to say this is this is editorial then.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Any objection to the underlying?
Okay. Is there any objection to the underlying document? There is. Yes.
Okay. Then we just vote.
The distinction has to be between understanding and explanation. The understanding is very bad. What does understanding mean? Explanation involves a given faith, and there someone can have a reasonable judgment whether there has been an adequate explanation. So I think it's a bad point to distinguish.
It's editorial. However, there was an objection, so we do have to have a vote. So would you please, all in favor of this as it, with the two editorial corrections, one where the removal of either and one a better phrasing of an understanding to consist of, David, would you repeat that? What were we going to say instead of... Okay. Okay. So with those two corrections, all in favor of this policy, raise your hand, please. Now, I guess, opposed?
One.
Abstentions? Okay. So the vote was 50 in favor, one opposed, no abstentions. Is there any new business? Okay. Thank you very much. See you on the 5th for a special limited meeting, on the 12th for the regular meeting. Three down, 5, 6 to go.